We are back inside the Quicken Loans studios right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. My man, Andy Pondillo, YSR producer, is back in studio. This is such a glorious time of year. This is like Christmas for AP, right?
Oh, definitely. And October baseball with meaningful baseball in Houston is just that much more fun. So a lot's going to happen in this next month.
So it's kind of like Oktoberfest. We need like an adult beverage for you on a Friday night.
Yeah, well, those will happen while I'm watching the games, I can assure you.
Okay, obviously MLB postseason play, it's so fluid. So much is happening right now. But you know what? I want to be a bit reflective. It's been a transitional 2015. The Cubs, the Astros, the Jays, the Mets kind of have reshaped the future of this league.
Oh, definitely. And what happens next year will always be a mystery. Sometimes we see these teams come out of nowhere, have a great year, and then they go right back down to the pack in the next season. I tend to believe the playoff teams we see right now, if they make the right moves, they continue to believe in our farm system, they all can be in postseason play again next year. The Astros, the Cubs, their farm system's so rich. The Mets, their pitching staff, so much young pitching. You're not even going to know what to do with all of it come next season. And then the Blue Jays with that awesome offense. They have the money, it appears, to go out and get some players. At least they have the resources to go get a David Price. So do they go out and get a free agent pitcher? You know, all these teams that came out, had big 2015s, I would look for them to try and make some moves in the offseason to continue that trend.
You know, Andy, kind of curiosity on my part, the Cubs, the Astros, the Jays, the Mets, which one of those teams did you not think would make it into postseason?
I would have had to have gone with the Blue Jays. I actually thought they were pretty competitive this year. I didn't think that they had the pitching to get them there, and they definitely changed that by getting David Price, the big splash move of the offseason.
Yes.
And I also thought the Cubs and Astros were a season too early. I felt like these were teams that were on the rise, that could win about 83 games, but I did not expect them to win, you know, in the Cubs' case, 97 games, the Astros to win the wild card game. I didn't anticipate them getting this good this quick. And some of it might just be that the MLB doesn't have a lot of great teams right now, at least in the American League's case with the Astros. But at the same time, you play the schedule you're given, you take the advantages you get, and that definitely helps you propel into a playoff position.
I have to wonder, what is the key component to accelerate a team's growth and being able to advance into postseason play? Is there a common denominator with each one of those teams?
Starting pitching. Every single one of them has good starting pitching. And a lot of times when we talk about starting pitching, we're always looking at number one picks or top three draft picks. You're expecting those guys to hit. You know, most times teams do hit on these guys. Do they end up being great? A lot of times, no. They end up being serviceable. What you have to have is a general manager that can stockpile prospects and not just hit on these first rounders, but hit on guys in the 16th round, the 30th round, international picks, or international signees. I mean, there's so many guys that come into the minor leagues, and most of them aren't going to pan out. But if you can get a guy like a Dallas Keuchel, who wasn't a high-round draft pick, becomes an ace. If you can be the Cubs, acquire Jake Arrieta, and he finds something that he hasn't found anywhere else. You know, these are the types of guys that can change a team very quickly. It's good, savvy GMs that find a way to not only bring in top-tier young talent, but bring in a quantity of young talent that finds success.
I have to wonder, talking about the Astros, the magical run, the big win against the Yankees earlier this week, how is this team different from ones in the past, 2005, that advanced?
Now, 2005 was different because it was a veteran team. It had good youth movement early when you saw this team coming up. I mean, there was pieces on that team like a Lance Berkman that had been a few years back, a Roy Oswalt, you know, homegrown talent. Same time, they mixed and matched that, pieced together holes with key veterans, Andy Pettit, Roger Clemens. And that is a good strategy to win right now. Teams like the Blue Jays, teams like the Rangers, you see them using that method right now. But as for winning over the long haul, it is very hard to sustain success with patching up holes with free agents. If you can develop your own talent, you have them under club control for a while, you sign them to team-friendly deals, that is the way you're going to succeed for a long time.
For every successful team, there is a surprising disappointment. So let's run through those. The Nationals, the Red Sox, and the Marlins. The Marlins were awful.
Yeah, Marlins had absolutely nothing go right. Dan Jennings not coming back as manager next year. Who's going to manage that team? Who wants to manage that team? Because they do not trust in their managers. If you have a bad start to a season, you have a bad overall season, you'll be out the door, and you know you might be blackballed to be a manager of somebody else. So it's not a good job, but yet there's a lot of talent there. You look at guys like Ozuna, Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton, their pitcher rotation, Jose Fernandez. You feel like this team is right there on the brink to compete in the NL East. I would put them above even the Nationals next year. I do believe this is a team that could come back and be competitive next year. I don't know what happened this season, and maybe I'm too confident in some of their young talent they have. I've seemed to have put them on a higher pedestal than most people did, but it's been an awful season for the Marlins.
What's the future of the Red Sox? I mean,
that's a mystery. Dave Dombrowski comes in. I doubt he's going to want to run the team the same way that it was run before, but yet he's got a lot of bad contracts on that team. He can't just get rid of Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval after 1 year. They're stuck. And these guys, they've been overweight. They want them to lose weight. What position do you put them at? They're not hitting at the type of numbers that they used to hit it. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a mystery what happens with the Red Sox. I generally say try and get as young as possible and get as many hard-throwing arms as possible. That'll start to turn the corner quicker. But this team, I feel like at least could boost themselves to being mediocre next year, but mediocre is not going to win you a division.
Oh, our man, Andy Pondillo, back with us in studio right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And as a reminder, you can listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. Andy, reach out to our audience. What you got on your podcast? What's going on lately?
That's Astro Chat, callmetalso.com, and we'll just be talking about the postseason with the Astros.
Oh, so what is the future of the Astros once we get past the 2015 season?
2015 definitely has been an exciting year. I believe the Astros will look to try to improve their team with on-base guys. Now, the problem with the Astros is actually not the worst problem to have. A lot of teams are lacking that big-time guy in the middle of the order. They're lacking that big-time arm at the top of the rotation. The Astros have that problem solved in Carlos Correa, Dallas Keuchel. Now they got to find more depth, and they need veteran depth in that order. They've known that for a while this season. We've seen a lot of peaks and valleys. We've seen them get hot. We've seen them get cold. You need more of a constant non-base guy in the middle of that order, a Ben Zobrist, a Alex Gordon, and, you know, on a more pricey note, maybe Jason Hayward is the guy the Astros target. But I believe that them getting on-base percentage in the middle of that order has to be priority number one.
On a pricey note, what about a personal note? Talk to me about Dallas Keuchel. I mean, you're one of those guys. You're over in the clubhouse. You spend time with the Astros. He is an imposing guy to look at. What is he like in terms of his personality? And is he a likable guy?
Very likable, calm, collected,
has it all put together.
Yeah, very calm. I mean, I wouldn't say soft-spoken, but he's not that loud, rah-rah guy either. He just goes out, does his thing, and he's as intense of a competitor as there is. If he gives up one run, he feels like he gave up one run too many. That's what you want. You want the bulldog mentality out of your number one pitcher, your ace for the Astros. Actually, his attitude, to me, not his stuff, but just his attitude and presence on the mound reminds me a lot of Roy Oswalt, the Astros' old ace.
Oh, yeah,
and,
of course,
you know, Keuchel goes out in that one game, pitches so dominantly versus the Yankees in a hostile environment at Yankee Stadium. This was Oswalt stuff out here, and that's the type of guy that a team can put everything on their back, and you know he's going to keep you in a game for seven innings.
You know, Andy, you're from Houston. You're from this area. What's the vibe, the feel from just so many of the fans? I mean, even like within your family, I mean, do you believe that the Astros, that they are back?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the Houston is really going to rally around them, win, lose, draw this postseason. You know, this has been a successful year for them. It's been a year early, what a lot of analysts said. And I feel like, you know, Jeff Luhnow hasn't made all of the moves to make this a 100% complete team because he, you know, he didn't have them all the way there. He didn't think they were all the way there. So next year, it's going to be interesting to see if they go all in. They try to make this not only one of the best teams in the AL West, but maybe a top team in the American League. And, you know, who knows? Anybody in the American League could be the top team right now because there's just a lot of parity in that league.
Oh, this is such a fun time of year. Always a pleasure to have Andy Pondillo from YSR joining us on our show each and every week. Thank you so much, Andy.
Always fun.
That, of course, was Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB news and notes right here at YSR. And it is time to thank our amazing lineup. Jared Greenberg of NBA TV, Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio. You can check him out at @Coleman ESPN. Chris Taylor, former NFL running back with the Texans, the Patriots, and the Saints. And most importantly, he's one of our producers right here at YSR. Brian Jones with CBS Sports and Bill Rabinowitz, who has the new book out titled The Chase. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.